Listener-supported KFUO invites you to listen live to our annual Share-a-thon. It's your opportunity to show your support to KFUO. If you can't join us live, please prayerfully consider supporting us by calling 314-996-1518 and asking about our giving levels. You can also click the Give Now button on our webpage. Share-a-thon 2017, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday on this April the 7th in the year of our Lord 2017. I'm Tom Baker, and you're listening to Worldwide KFUO. Right after this program, we'll be going to Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm. We have an 11 o'clock funeral for member there, Stan Bamer. Wonderful individual, did a lot for the church, but the sermon, of course, is going to focus on what Jesus did for him. Then tonight at 6 p.m., we have our inquiry in regard to the confirmands who will be being confirmed on the following Sunday, Palm Sunday, when they get their confirmation and also receive their first communion. So, after Palm Sunday, I've been mentioning that I have 12 sermons to preach in 12 days, and after Palm Sunday, that will leave only 5 to go. 7 of them will have been preached. We do have a worship service on Monday night, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and 2 on Easter Sunday. So, if you want to call in on any question of a theological nature, don't hesitate to do so. St. Louis number is 821-0850. But anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. If you were listening yesterday, we had Pastor Nabil Noor, who is a vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He had heard some items that I had said on Monday and want to expand on that, and I promised him that I would also mention that today during Open Mic Friday. The item we were talking about is I said that Jesus did not die until he said, "I thirst," because that was the word of prophecy from the cross that had to be fulfilled. Pastor Noor reminded us, of course, that there was something else going on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when Jesus died, and that was the slaughter of the animals for the Passover. In fact, in the sermon the night before, Lenten Wednesday, I had mentioned Leviticus chapter 17, where it talks about the sweet aroma ascending to heaven of the slaughtered animals. And then in Ephesians, it uses basically the same language about the sweet aroma of Christ dying on the cross. So, we really appreciate Pastor Noor's insights. I was very privileged. He was a field worker, which means he was a seminarian, and he was assigned to my congregation, St. James Lutheran Church in University City. I kind of think he had a lot of Palestinian knowledge. I learned more from him, I think, than he learned from me. But we appreciate that he is vice president in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So, if anybody else has anything they want to expand on that I said, either with Mark Smith or Wes Reimnitz or on our Insight Wednesday, don't hesitate to call. The numbers are St. Louis 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. in between calls, I thought that I would want to talk about a subject that for many people, Lutherans don't talk about that much. We talk a lot about law and gospel, but how many times have you heard us talking about good works? After Luther died, there were a number of controversies that arose in the Lutheran Church, and there was a formula of concord, which meant an agreement on the part of people as to what was going to be said about those specific items. The one is on good works, and I find it really interesting. They begin this way. It is wrong to say that good works are necessary for salvation. It is also wrong to say that they are harmful for salvation. Now, you would begin to think and say, well, wait a minute. If they're not necessary for salvation, and if they're not harmful for salvation, why do we have any talk about them at all? And that's what the next statement is, which is really good. Just as wrong, however, is to demand avoiding the discussion of good works altogether. Now, when you first read good works, it is to say that it is wrong to say that they're necessary for salvation. Are there not good works on the part of the believer? And can we not say if those good works are missing that a person is really not saved? Yes, we can. Then why are we not saying that good works are not necessary for salvation? The key word to remember there is the word for. Are they necessary for salvation? Which means, are they necessary in order to be saved? There's a huge distinction between justification and sanctification. And we want to make very clear that those two items are kept separate. We'll explain that a little bit more, but being an open mic Friday, we always like to go and listen to our callers. Let's go talk with Doris. Hi, Doris. You're on the air.
Hi. I have kind of perhaps maybe a silly question, but in the business that I work in, I have a lot of people that are burning the candle at both ends, and periodically there's the phrase, I can sleep when I die. And, you know, we kind of just pass by that, but, you know, I kind of think about it and I'm going, okay, I know the Bible talks about sleep, but not necessarily the way, you know, they're talking about it. But really, are we going to have a need for sleep when we're in heaven? We have a new body, and is sleep here is for replenishing and being able to carry on physically because this body only can do so much. It's just a curious thing. I'm thinking, really, will we sleep in heaven?
Well, let me answer it this way. I'm doing a funeral directly after this worship service at 11 o'clock for Stan Bamer. And one of the points that we will be making is that he is asleep in Jesus. But that doesn't mean that he's catching up on his earthly sleep, because
exactly,
he could be quite aware of everything that's going on. It talks that the spirits with Jesus are awaiting the end time when their bodies will be restored. So the question you're really asking is, when we get to heaven with our new bodies, will we have a need for sleep? My answer to that is, if you go to the book of Revelation, heaven is often described as the old Garden of Eden prior to the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, where, of course, Adam and Eve were sinless. There was a tree of life in the Garden of Eden. In the new heaven, there will not be the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in order to tempt us. But let me ask you this question, Doris. Do you think that Adam and Eve slept in the Garden of Eden?
Well, I never thought about that.
Well, there's actually a verse that says Adam did. Remember?
Well, he, when the when the rib was removed.
Very good. Excellent. So I don't see sleep as being a problem when we get to heaven. Remember, Jesus was sinless. Did he ever sleep when he was here on earth?
But he had a human body that did need replenishing.
Well, it could be that whether or not we call it replenishing or whatever, did Adam and Eve's body need replenishing?
Being human on earth here, although they were perfect at the time before the fall into sin, I guess the creation was to sleep then, yes.
Yes, and so I don't have a problem if I get to heaven to find out that I sleep. Frankly, I really hate sleeping. I do. I think it's a waste of time for me, and that's why I'm often up very, very late. And when do I finally go to sleep? When I'm tired. Because have you ever gone to bed, especially if I read a Bible study or something, then my mind is racing and I can't sleep. I often have to get up, go to the computer, write down what I say. Then I'm feeling a little bit more relaxed. I can go back to bed. But yep. In light of the fact that Jesus slept, remember, in the boat. With the big storm. He was asleep on a cushion. So
I guess I just separated the two from what's happening on earth to what would happen in heaven.
Yes.
But drawing the old Garden of Eden with that, I guess I hadn't connected that.
Well, before. The other thing I would say, you used the word replenish.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we are going to be eating food in heaven?
Well, I was thinking about that too, and I know it talks about the heavenly banquet and feasting and such. But again, sometimes I end up wondering: are some things, you know, we have to have the description in the closest thing that we can understand
Correct.
Where we're at right now.
Just like the streets in heaven are paved with gold, that's really not going to probably be true.
Exactly.
Yeah, kind
because
of thing.
There's nothing that could be described for us that we would understand here.
You do have that statement by Jesus that he will not again drink of the fruit of the vine until the heaven. So
okay. When
I take a look at that, boy, I'd hate to be in heaven and not be able to eat White Castles.
They'll be healthy for you then, right?
Well, they probably won't be made of meat either, but they'll taste better. Yeah, this is where I, as a pastor, cannot give a definitive answer because I need to look to the scriptures. And even when we do look to the scriptures, remember, we're going to be able to eat of the tree of life. Because that's why they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, so they would not eat of the tree of life and die in that sinful nature. So if in Revelation the tree of life is going to be there from which we're going to be able to eat, it's an open question. I will not be surprised when I get to heaven that I don't have to sleep. I won't be surprised if I will want to sleep. It's just going to be something that it's such a different dimension of reality that when Paul had his vision of heaven, he couldn't even find human words to describe it.
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm.
So kind of an open question. You can have different points of view, use different Bible verses, but you are very correct that a lot of times the vision of heaven is often equalized to something we're familiar with here on earth, and it doesn't mean it's going to be like that.
Well, I generally let the statement go when people say I can sleep when I die, but I don't know that really.
No, they're wrong when they say that, because that's not the kind of sleep. Remember when he goes to see Lazarus, he says, I'm going to Lazarus who is asleep. And the disciples say, he'll wake up them on his own. And then he said plainly, no, he is dead. So that's how the word sleep is used there. And what condition Lazarus was in between the moment of his death and his resurrection, I don't know. Because if he had been permitted to go into the presence of God, one would have thought that there'd be something in the Bible where he had told others about it. So I think he was just in a kind of a mode of silence or not really realizing what most of us will realize, like the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Remember, Lazarus was dead for 4 days.
Yes.
Okie doke.
Again, too, we're told what we need to know so that the Bible is something at least we can carry around and not filling the whole world with.
Yeah, remember, there's 10,000 questions I have that the Bible doesn't answer. So the first stop I'm making is Gabriel's booth of unanswered questions. And now at least the first one will be why some and not others. The second one will be, do we have to sleep?
Well, yeah, and you know what? When we get there, the questions that were important here
aren't going to be important there.
Right? Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for calling, Doris.
Thank you, Tom.
God bless.
Bye.
And we're going to move on down the line now, and let's go talk to Gary. Gary, you're on the air.
Good morning, sir. Hello. The pastor that does the Bible study from 8 to 8:45 and carries on after that. It was during the past week about when Christ was in the garden, and they talked about Jesus having, if I understood it correctly, having two wills, a divine will and a human will, and how one fought against the other one as far as going to the cross. I never thought of Christ as having, how's the word will understood there?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that particular. I heard the one this morning, but I didn't hear that particular one. Are you saying that when Jesus said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, and the statement was that was really his human will, not his divine will?
Correct. That's what I understood it as.
Yeah, I'd have to talk to the pastor about that. I have quite a different understanding there. If you take a look at the text, it says in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was almost dead. He was sweating like drops of blood, and he was near death. I believe that when he says, remove this cup from me, he's not talking about the cross. He's talking about that he not die in the Garden of Gethsemane. And God answered that prayer by sending him an angel who strengthened him. And I think that is tremendous understanding that Jesus did not want to die in the Garden of Gethsemane so that he could die on the accursed tree for you and for me as prophesied in the Old Testament.
Why would you say the part of the garden as opposed to the cup meaning the cross?
Because if you look the word cup up, it comes in a number of statements that Jesus says, and this is not always referring to the cross. It's just, you can even look it up in an English concordance, and you'll see he talks about this cup. For example, when he's in Nazareth, they wanted to throw him off a cliff. Well, that wasn't ready yet. And so he was able to escape that. So just look the word cup up, and you'll see that it always does not refer to the cross of Christ. And it's very clear from the text that he was really concerned during that hour in the Garden of Gethsemane. So I personally don't see a distinction between his human will and his divine will being sinless in the state of humiliation. I'm not sure there's really a difference, but I'd have to hear the pastor. Perhaps he has some Bible verses I'm unaware of that he was using, but that's my point of view at this time.
All right. Good day. Thank you. Appreciate the answer.
Thank you very much for calling, and we're just going to go down the line and talk to Marilyn. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, Pastor.
How you doing?
I have a couple of questions. One, whenever the soldiers went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and in fact, I understand there were like 600 of them, and whenever the lead soldier said that we were seeking Jesus of Nazareth, and he said, I am he, and I'm not quoting exactly.
Yes.
That those 600 soldiers fell down. I had never heard or read about 600 soldiers before. Is that correct?
I don't remember anything in the Bible that says how many there were. Jesus talks about a volume of angels that he could brought down, but that was kind of in the thousands. So the unless I'm missing something, I don't remember 600 soldiers. But more importantly, why did they fall down? When I was a child, I thought that Jesus had given them a zap of some kind of fire or something that made them fall down. But actually, you said it, Marilyn. When they ask Jesus, "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" he just doesn't say yes. He uses the name of God in the Greek. The Greek is ego eimi. Yes, I am. And that's the name that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai when we use it as Yahweh, I am. And they fell down because they thought Jesus was blaspheming that he was saying that he was God, which he was. But in that day and age, you either fall down on your face in the face of blasphemy, or like the high priest did, you tear your robes.
Oh, my goodness. I was not aware of that.
I wasn't either till I went to the seminary.
Well,
that's why you need to keep phoning KFUO, because we're kind of trained to see things that aren't always seen in the English.
And I know where Orchard Farm is now, and I hope that all that water is gone. And God bless all of them.
Well, you know, years ago we had that huge flood. It just came up to the road and didn't cross the road into Orchard Farm, the church. Now, a number of our members had flooding, but the congregation is a wonderful congregation. They really love taking care of each other, and so the people were taken care of. But at this point, some of the fields have water in them. There's no doubt about that. But they're all looking to what has happened in the past years where that water kind of evaporates and gets the fields ready for the sowing of the seed. And boy, do they have beans and corn. And the only problem, Marilyn, is a lot of it is on the corner of fields. And so when you come up and you're driving, you can't see around the corner. So you got to be pretty careful in driving.
Well, that's what they were showing on television, I guess.
Yeah.
Blessings and love to you.
And happy Easter to you, Marilyn. God bless. Thank you so much for calling. And that's all we're going to be able to take today. Thank you, Doris, Gary, Marilyn. And if you have a question that you want me to respond to, but you're unable to be on the air with me, you can email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And I'll also mention April is the last month that I have to pay the amount that I need to pay to KFUO to stay on the air. If you're at all available to provide us some funding, you can also get it with an IRS tax-deductible gift. Listen to the end of the program where you can mail your check. But rather than make it out to Law and Gospel, make it out to Concordia Mission Society. And that way, they've okayed that also can be a tax-deductible gift. Years ago, when I was on another station, Concordia Mission Society was helping to pay for that. And so if you would like to donate, get a tax-deductible gift, then Concordia Mission Society, and use the address that you're going to be hearing at the end of the program. Now, remember, we do have a funeral at 11 o'clock, and then at 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to have a confirmation examination on questions from the Catechism in preparation for their being confirmed on Palm Sunday and receiving their first communion. And if you're unable to make a Palm Sunday service, we do have one at Trinity Orchard Farm Monday night at 6 p.m., after which we have a voters' assembly meeting, and the district president of the Missouri district is going to be in attendance helping us to understand where, when we send money to the district and to synod, how that is spent. in the proclamation of the gospel, in the support of missionaries, and all the other administrative tasks that need to be paid for. So that's 7:30 for those of our members on Monday night, a voters' assembly. And then, of course, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. We'll be talking more about that when we talk with Mark Smith and Wes Reimnitz next week. If you can be so kind as to send us a donation so we can complete our payment to KFUO, we appreciate that. And in the meantime, a glorious Holy Week starting this Sunday, continuing through next week. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.